ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट टू। श्री भगवान वाच कुतस्त्वा कश्मदमिदं विषमे समुपस्थितं अनार्यजुष्टम अस्वर्ग्यम अकीर्ति करम अर्जुन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड, माय डियर अर्जुन, हाउ हैव दीज इम्प्योरिटीज कम अपॉन यू? दे आर नॉट एट ऑल बिफिटिंग अ मैन हु नोज द वैल्यू ऑफ लाइफ। दे लीड नॉट टू हायर प्लैनेट्स बट टू इन्फमी। पर्पोट: Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita. Bhagavan is the ultimate in the absolute truth. The absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman or the impersonal all-pervasive spirit, Paramatma or the localized aspect of the Supreme within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, this conception of the absolute truth is explained thus: Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdiyate. The absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding by the knower of the absolute truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of the absolute truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun's surface, and the sun planet itself. One who studies the sunshine only is a preliminary student. One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced, and one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest. Ordinary students who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature may be compared to those who can realize only the Brahman feature of the absolute truth. The student who has advanced still further can know the sun disk, which is compared to knowledge of the Paramatma feature of the absolute truth. And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet is compared to those who realize the personal features of the supreme absolute truth. Therefore, the bhaktas or the transcendentalists who have realized the Bhagavan feature of the absolute truth are the topmost transcendentalists, although all students who are engaged in the study of the absolute truth are engaged in the same subject matter. The sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another, and yet the students of the three different phases are not in the same category. So here Prabhupada is discussing the first meaning of the word Bhagavan. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Bhagavan. He will outline the second meaning of Bhagavan later in the next paragraph. Now, regarding Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, these are topics which are which are presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam and which have become identified with the Gaudiya Vaishnava school of thought, the Bhagavata school of thought. And much has been written about this. There's a lot of material which has been written just on this concept of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan being three phases of understanding of the One Absolute Truth. Extensive Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, two books along with further detailed annotations have been written by Jiva Goswami just on this one shloka. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdiyate. This topic has been analyzed so much by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Rupa Goswami has discussed these concepts in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written about this in Amnaya Sutra, has written about it in Dashamol, first text. He has written it in, written about this in Mahaprabhu Shiksha, Jaiva Dharma. Ad infinitum you can find. So much has been written. You will find this explanation in Jiva Goswami's commentary and Bhaktivinoda's commentary to Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita explicitly spells out the nature of the impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So a lot has been written about it. And when I came across this section, I was somewhat perplexed how I'm going to deal with this, because there's too much has been written about this. So I finally concluded that I'm going to speak very little about it. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take this verse, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas, verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I will read through a large portion of Vishwanath Chakravarti's explanation, and I'll try to explain that, and I think that will help a lot. There's another concept also which, then after dealing with the second meaning of Bhagavan, there's another important concept that comes out in Prabhupada's purport. Yes?
Is Brahman the same as Ishvara?
They are three names of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they refer to three different phases of understanding.
I'm talking about the word Ishvara. Is it same as Brahman? Or
Ishvara means the Supreme Controller.
So is that word related to any of these three words?
Ishvara is Paramatma.
Ishvara is Paramatma.
Ishvara is Paramatma. So I will read out Vishwanath Chakravarti's explanation to this. And I will explain as I go along. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdiyate. Tattvam eva kim tatraha vadanti iti. This is appearing in a certain context in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam. So it comes to a point where the Bhagavatam says that the goal of human life is to inquire about the Absolute Truth. Then what is that Absolute Truth? This is the Absolute Truth. Yat advayam jnanam tat tattvam. That which is non-dual consciousness, or that which is non-dual and which is conscious, that is that Absolute Truth. Jnanam eva kim. Now, what is that consciousness or conscious being? What is that spirit? Tatraha brahmeti shabdiyate. That is referred to as Brahman. Brahmeti padena yad uchyate jnanibhihi tad jnanam tanmate. Okay. Yad uchyate jnanibhihi tad jnanam. That consciousness, see the word jnanam in Sanskrit as it appears in this text, vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam ya jnanam advayam, it can either refer to conscious being or it can refer to that which is consciousness itself, spiritual, that's what is called jnanam, spirit, spiritual entity. So that spiritual entity which is referred to by the jnanis with the name Brahman, that is that Absolute Truth. Tanmate jnanam nirakaram gyatri gyeyadi vibhaga shunyam Chit Samanyam Chit Visheshanam Bhagavad Dhamadinam Tad Ananyatva Manana. In their understanding, that spiritual entity is without any form, and there are no divisions such as the perceiver, the perceived, etc. It is one spiritual entity, because they do not understand, or they do not perceive, they are unable to perceive, they do not perceive, they do not know, they are unable to understand, they are unable to comprehend, or rather they comprehend the oneness between the Lord and His abode, etc. Because they are all spiritual, spiritual, spiritual beings. That's all they can see. They contemplate the oneness within the Absolute Truth. Despite all the variety, they only contemplate on the oneness, and they only perceive that oneness, the qualitative oneness of the Lord and His abode, etc. Jiva maya yos tat shaktitvena tadaikyad itam karasvadasya karyasya vishvasya karanam matratmakatvat advaitam. That the living entities and material nature are His shaktis, His potencies. And therefore, because there is no difference between the energy and the energetic, therefore they contemplate on that. And even this universe, because it is the effect of the Supreme Lord, or the effect of the Absolute Truth, and there is no difference between the cause and effect. So therefore they contemplate on the oneness of these things, and therefore from their perspective, from their understanding, it is all one. Tatha, then, paramatmeti yogi bhihi yaduchyate tad jnanam. And that spiritual entity, that consciousness, or that conscious being, who is referred to by the yogis as paramatma, that is the Absolute Truth. Etanmate, paramatman, paramatmanas chiddeka rupatvat, jnanamatratvam, jnanamatratvepi, sakshitvader jnana visheshasya ashrayatvam api. That first of all, the paramatma, in their understanding, in their, from their perspective, the paramatma is a singular spiritual form, and he is entirely a conscious being, spiritual being. Even then, because he is witnessing, you know, the super soul witnesses the activities of the living entities, so he is also conscious. So they are able to understand that the super soul himself is conscious. So he is the abode of certain characteristics such as perception. Dyumani dipadeer jyoti rupatvepi jyotish matvam api na anupapannam. It is not just like it's a complicated concept. That that which is of the nature of light can also be the source of light. Similarly, the Paramatma is consciousness, but he is also conscious. It is not wrong to think so. It's not wrong to say so. And then from their perspective, this concept is authorized. Now this perspective of theirs is authorized. And he quotes from the Bhagavatam second canto, Kechit Swadehantar Hridayavakashe Pradeshamatram Purusham Vasantam Ityade Sakaratvam Cha Mayaya Shaktitvad Maikanam Cha Tad Anyatvad Jeevasya Tad Vivinam Shatvad Tataha Dvitiyatva Abhavad Advayatvam. That there are statements such as the Bhagavatam second canto verse, which says that there are some people who meditate on the Supreme Lord as being of the size of a thumb, situated in the sky of the heart, inside their bodies. They meditate like this. So they understand that this Paramatma is actually a Sakar Vastu. He is actually a person. He has a form. And he possesses Maya as his potency. Maya is his potency. And he is not affected by Maya. And he is different from the living entities in the sense that the living entities are his separated parts and parcels. In that sense. Tataha dvitiyatva abhava tadvayam. So there is no one who is second to him. There is no one who is equal to him. So in that sense, he is advaya. Tatha bhagavan iti bhakte yaduchyate tajnanam. And that conscious being who is referred to by the bhaktas as bhagavan, that is the absolute truth. See, he has shown three definitions of the absolute truth all in one shloka. Edanmate purva jnana matratvepi bhaga shabda vachya shaddaishwaryas yapi aprakratatvena chinmatratva tadrupatvam yaduktam Vishnu Purana. That he is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who possesses six opulences which are spiritual, and because they are spiritual, he is non-different from his own qualities. These six qualities, six opulences are spelled out in the Vishnu Purana. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashriya jnana vairagya yoschaiva shannam bhaga itingana jnana shakti balaishwarya viryate jams yasheshata bhagavat shabdavachyani vinahe yer gunadivhi. Vishnu Purana states that the word Bhagavan is actually broken into bhaga plus van. Bhaga means opulence. Van stands for he who possesses, that personality who possesses. And this bhaga, this opulence, that word bhaga indicates six types of opulences: fame, wealth, wisdom, beauty, power, renunciation. So one who possesses them to the complete extent, one unlimited extent, he is said to be Bhagavan. Jnana shakti valaishwarya virya tejams asheshata, to an unlimited extent. Bhagavat shabdavachyani vinahe yair gunadipi. So, therefore, that person is understood to be Bhagavan. He does not have any quality which is worthy of condemnation, which is worthy of rejection. He doesn't have any bad quality. Tathaiva dvibhujatva chaturbhujatvadi vividha chidghanakarair bahirantar vartitvepi na chyavante cha yad bhakta mahatyam pralayapadhiti skandadi vake sadaiva sevya sevaka sevadi vibhagepi advayatvam puruvat shaktinam chitadinam tad vilasanam cha vaikunthadinam tad abhinnatvam manana tataha bhinnatva bhave naiva advaya padena vyavrata. Chakravarti is explaining that he has multiple forms, two-handed form, four-handed form, he has various forms, and each of these forms are spiritual concentrated, they are concentrated spiritual forms, and they are manifested both inside and outside of his devotees who have attained love of Godhead. They see him both inside and outside, Bahiranta Spurantam. And he is manifest in the spiritual world after attaining which his devotees they don't fall down. Even when the Mahapralaya happens here, there is something called Mahapralaya at the end of every day of Brahma. At the end of Brahma's life, the universe is destroyed. So these are some of the pralayas, universal dissolutions. But those who attain the spiritual world, they are not affected by any of these. This is a statement in Skanda Purana. So there are similar statements. So from that we understand that even though there are distinctions between the object of service, the Supreme Lord, the servants, the sevakas, and the act of service, in the spiritual world, still that is the feature of the Supreme Lord being non-dual, because as previously explained, there is no difference between Him and His potencies, and there is no difference between Him and His paraphernalia. So this word Advaya is used in order to reject or deny the concept that the Lord is different, is completely different from His paraphernalia. Evam cha bhagavata samanya swarupa matrasya upadayatve jnanani adhikarini samanya swarupa matrasya upadayatve jnanani adhikarini brahmeti. The idea is that those people who are only eligible to perceive His nature in a very general manner, vague manner, they perceive Him as Brahman, and they are known as the Jnanis. Antaryamitvadi dutvad dharma vatvasya upadane yoginya adhikarini paramatmeti. And those who are only eligible to see Him as a super soul with those characteristics, they perceive Him as Paramatma, and these are the yogis. Achintyananta chiddanandamaya swarupa rupa guna leeladya aneka madhur aneka dharma vatvasya grahana yogyatayam bhakte adhikarini bhagavaneti. But those who are eligible to perceive Him as the one having unlimited spiritual and blissful forms, with their qualities, pastimes, and who are capable of perceiving this much, they are the bhaktas, and they perceive Him as Bhagavan. Sa evaiko bhati, He is one Bhagavan who is shining and who is perceived corresponding to their levels of eligibility. Kimcha yanmitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam krishnaya vasudevaya haraye paramatmane iti madiyam mahimanam cha param brahmeti shabditam iti brahmano hi pratishtaham iti vishtavyaham idam kritsnam ekamshena stito jagad ityadi vachanebhyaha tatha bhagavad upasakanam moksha prapte rapit darshana. However, we understand from these statements, like there is a statement that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute truth, the eternal supreme bliss. He was a friend of the cowherd boys. Obeisances to Krishna, to Vasudeva, to Lord Hari, the super soul. My glory is known as Param Brahma in the Vedic scriptures. I am the foundation of the impersonal Brahman. This entire universe is maintained by me in one amsha of mine. So there are many statements like this. So from this we understand that those who worship Bhagavan, they are capable of attaining liberation. Brahma paramatma upasakanam cha prema prapti adarshanad bhagavata eva brahmatva paramatmatva ityato bhagavatvam moolam iti drashtavyam. And we find that those who worship Brahman or Paramatma, they do not attain love of Godhead. They cannot attain love of Godhead. And therefore we understand that the Bhagavan feature is the source of the Brahman feature and Paramatma feature. Atra, then he explains another way of understanding this. Another reason to conclude that there is a gradation between the Brahman feature, Paramatma feature and Bhagavan feature. Atra, Brahma upasakebhyaha jnanibhyaha sakashad paramatma upasakaha yogi shreshtaha. Greater than the jnani, who is the worshipper of the Brahman, is the yogi, the worshipper of Paramatma. Tebhyaha yogibhyaha api bhagavad upasakaha shreshtaha iti taratamyam gita sudrishtam. But greater than both of them, or greater than such yogis, is the worshipper of Bhagavan. This gradation is seen in Bhagavad Gita at the end of the 6th chapter. तपस्विभ्योधिको योगी ज्ञानेभ्योपि मतोधिकः कर्मभिश्चाधिको योगी तस्माद् योगी भवार्जुन योगिनामपि सर्वेषां मद्गतेनान्तरात्मना श्रद्धावान् भजते यो मां समययुक्ततमो मतः. ग्रेटर देन द वन हु परफॉर्म्स तपस्या austerities is a yogi who is greater than the gyanis, and certainly he is greater than a karmi. Therefore you should become a yogi, O Arjuna. This is 6.46. Then the next text, 6.47, says that greater than all the yogis is the one who is constantly meditating upon me within his heart. The one who has full faith in me and who worships me, he is considered to be the greatest. Yogi namiti panchamya arthe shashti shri ramanujacharya charanair vyakhyateti. In this, that's a grammatical point which you may not understand. He is quoting Ramanuja as evidence for that certain type of a translation. Okay, so the understanding is that there is only one truth. We are not worshippers of three gods. We don't worship a trinity. You know, the Christians have the concept of trinity. God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We are not really talking about something like that. We are not talking of that kind of a trinity. We are talking of actually only one God, Bhagavan. But when that Bhagavan is partially perceived, the content of their partial perception is known as Paramatma. And the content of such a vague perception of Bhagavan or Paramatma is known as Brahman. This should be understood clearly. That we are not talking of three different objects. That's why it is said, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam. Advayam includes atrayam. It is not two. Which means in Sanskrit, not two or more. It's only one, it's Bhagavan. And the standard example that is given is the sun god. And the sun god is a person, he has a form. But he can be seen in his personal form only when he blesses you. Until then, you will only see the sun disk or the sun rays. There is a sun god whom Kunti saw when she was blessed by the sun god. Kunti saw the same sun that we saw, but she saw more. Because the sun god, the predominating deity of the sun planet, which everyone can see, we can only see the sun planet, the sun disk. The predominating deity, he manifested himself along with this paraphernalia. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has a form. But he has to bless you with the ability to see him. Until then, you will not see his Bhagavan feature. You may be blessed to see his Paramatma feature, or his Brahman feature. Yes.
You mentioned about the Mahapralaya. Does it occur at the same time on all the planets, or it is one by one?
From what I have read, it is sequential.
Sequential.
Hmm. Very short interval of time. It's one after another.
Because, and I was just trying to reconcile the two different facts. For example, the scientists say that there is no human beings on moon.
Yeah, there are no human beings on moon. We also say that. There are no human beings on moon.
Living beings.
Oh, there are living beings, yeah.
No living beings on moon. There is no life on the moon. So maybe there is
Mahapralaya
going on or something like that.
No. Science is wrong. It's a simple point. What is it? Just because millions of people believe it is correct. What is there? I don't find any problem. If you have analyzed the philosophy of Western science, you also will understand. Even philosophers of Western science, they know it's a belief system. That's all. It is not a knowledge system. It is a belief system. Western science is a belief system. It's a belief system, that's all. They're believing in it. They don't have proof. It's a belief system. So they can't prove beyond what they believe. That's it. So So you don't have to be intimidated by their glorious pronouncements, which they keep changing every now and then. Okay, we'll continue. The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parashara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, the Supreme Personality who possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached. But no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc. entirely. Only Krishna can claim this because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Narayana, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna. This statement requires some explanation. So I will read from one small purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada gives some clarification on this. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 2, Text 88 and 89. Text 88, first I'll read 88. Jar Bhagavatta hoite anner Bhagavatta, Sayam Bhagavan shabde tahate satta. Only the personality of Godhead, the source of all other divinities, is eligible to be designated Swayam Bhagavan or the primeval Lord. Deep hoite joiche bohu deeper jalan, mool ek deep taha koriye ganan. When from one candle many others are lit, I consider that one the original. So this is very obviously a statement that is coming from the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 46. There is a very famous verse. Deepacharevahi dashantaram abhipetya deepayate vivrutahetu samana dharma. Istadhrig, what is that? It's not coming to my mind, but there's a shloka. That there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the other forms of the Lord are all like one candle has been lit from another candle, so they're all having the same candle power. But at the same time, you have a source. Purport. The Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse 46 states that the Vishnu Tattva, or the principle of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is like a lamp because the expansions equal their origin in all respects. A burning lamp can light innumerable other lamps, and although they will not be inferior, still the lamp from which the others are lit must be considered the original. So the idea is, if you have one lamp and you light other lamps from that, all the lamps are equal. It's not that the first lamp is brighter and the other lamps are less bright. They're all equally bright. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands Himself in the plenary forms of the Vishnu Tattva. And although they are equally powerful, the original powerful Personality of Godhead is considered the source. So this is how Krishna expands Himself into the various Narayan forms. So we understand that actually Narayana and Krishna, they are equal in their potency, equal in their capacities. There is nothing that Narayana cannot do. Literally nothing that he cannot do, because he is Krishna. Narayana has all the same opulences that Krishna has. But still we say Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, because he is the source. And apart from that, there is a further subtle point which we will study a little further on what is the difference between the Vishnu forms and the original Krishna form. If they possess the same opulences, same qualities, then why do we keep saying that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan? In the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we stress this point very much. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the source of even Vishnu. And we will write statements like this. No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Narayana, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna. Prabhupada clearly says that they are the same. From the scriptures also we understand they are the same. So how can you make a statement that Narayana cannot possess opulences as fully as Krishna? It has to be understood in a certain context, which we will see now. Regarding Lord Shiva, Prabhupada writes this, continues in the same purport, Chaitanya Charitamrita. This analogy also explains the appearance of qualitative incarnations like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Shambhostu tamodhishthanatvad karjalamaya sukshma deepa shikha sthaniyasya na tatha samyam. The Shambhu Tattva, or the principle of Lord Shiva, is like a lamp covered with carbon. Because of his being in charge of the mode of ignorance, the illumination from such a lamp is very minute. Therefore, the power of Lord Shiva cannot compare to that of the Vishnu principle. The idea is, Lord Shiva is like a lamp which is covered with the soot. Sometimes you have a lamp which is covered with the soot, you know. The soot comes out of the flame and it goes around the lamp's glass. So because of that, the illumination that comes out of the lamp is very little. So Lord Shiva is like that. Therefore it is said that the power of Lord Shiva cannot compare to that of the Vishnu principle. Meaning that the manifested power of Lord Shiva cannot be compared to that of Lord Vishnu. Similarly, the manifested opulences of Lord Narayana cannot be compared to that of Lord Krishna. We will study this a little further. This also will take help of Vishwanatha Chakravarti and he will explain it very carefully. Therefore, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or above him. He is the primeval Lord or Bhagavan known as Govinda. And he is the supreme cause of all causes. Ishwara Paramah Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Nadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan. But Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. In the Bhagavatam also, there is a list of many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is described as the original personality of Godhead, from whom many, many incarnations and personalities of Godhead expand. Ete chamsha kalapam sa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam hridayanti yuge yuge. All the lists of the incarnations of Godhead submitted herewith are either plenary expansions or parts of the plenary expansions of the Supreme Godhead. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This is Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 28 of Bhagavata. Very, very important verse for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But with one which requires a certain amount of careful understanding. Now this comes at the end of a list. There is a list of about 24 incarnations provided in the second chapter of the first canto. At the end of this list, now in that list Krishna's name is included. Krishna Balram, now they have come. So there are 24 prominent incarnations. In fact, it was stated towards the end that look, avatara ki asankhyaya, that there are unlimited incarnations. The idea is these 24 are prominent, so 24 has been given. Then it was stated the sages, the manus, the demigods, the descendants of Manu, actually all of them are expansions of the Supreme Lord. Then comes this verse. All of them are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. So then comes this verse. Ete chamsha kalapam sah krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. Chakravarti. Now I am only going to read excerpts from this. His commentary on this is quite long. So I am going to read excerpts from this. Nanu esham sarvesham tulyatvam evava astiva taratamyam iti apekshaya maha ete cheti. Now, are all these personalities, are they equal or is there some gradation? Anticipating this, Suta Goswami, the speaker of this portion of Bhagavatam, he speaks the verse beginning ete chamsha kalapumsa, etc. Ete purvoktaha cha shabdat annuktascha pumsaha ప్రథమ నిర్దేశస్య పురుషస్య అంశకళాః కేచిత్ అంశాః మత్స్య కూర్మ వరాహాద్యా కేచిత్ కళాః కుమారం నారదాదయః ఆవేశాః యదుక్తం యదుక్తం భాగవతామృత. సో హీ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఆల్ దీస్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ లిస్టెడ్ హియర్ రెఫర్ టు ద పర్సనాలిటీస్ హూ ఆర్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ బిఫోర్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ అంశస్ ఆర్ కళాస్. అంశ మీన్స్ అ పోర్షన్, కళా మీన్స్ అ పోర్షన్ ఆఫ్ అ పోర్షన్. సో ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ ఆర్ అంశస్, సమ్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ అంశస్, దే ఆర్ పార్ట్స్ సచ్ యాజ్ మత్స్య కూర్మ వరాహ ఎట్సెట్రా. And some of them are kalas, they are portions of the portions. They refer to the four kumaras, Narada, etc. These are the avesha incarnations. Sometimes you have living entities who are empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. These are jivas. But the Lord takes over their body and uses them for His purpose. So these are called shakti avesha avatars. These are not actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. These are living entities who are... empowered by the Supreme Lord. So they are called Shakti Avesha Avatars. And then he quotes from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita of Rupa Goswami to explain this. Jnana Shakti Adi Kalaya Yatravishto Janardana Ta Avesha Nigadhyante Jiva Eva Mahattama వైకుంఠేపి యథాశేష నారద సనకాదయం ఇది. రూప గోస్వామి సేస్ సమ్టైమ్స్ లార్డ్ జనార్దన్ హీ ఎంపవర్స్ గ్రేట్ జీవస్, హీ ఎంపవర్స్ దెమ్ విత్ జ్ఞానం, స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్, శక్తి, పొటెన్సీ. హీ ఎంపవర్స్ లిటిల్ బిట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ పొటెన్సీ, నాలెడ్జ్, ఎట్సెట్రా. They are called Aveshas. They are called empowered. They are Jivas. They also exist in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. For example, Ananta Shesha. He is empowered by the Supreme Lord. He is there in the spiritual world. Narada. The four Kumaras. They are there in the spiritual world also. Vaikuntha. But they are empowered by the Supreme Lord. Tatha Padme. And then he gives evidence from the Padma Purana. I'm not going to quote that and explain that. Then he gives a list of who are within this list of 24 incarnations. He gives a list of who are the empowered incarnations. Then after that, Chakravarti states, Te cha avesha మహాశక్త్యా అల్పశక్త్యా చ ఇతి ద్విధాః ప్రథమాః కుమార నారదాద్యాః అవతార శబ్దేన ఉచ్యంతే ద్వితీయాః మరీచి మన్వాద్యాః విభూతి శబ్దేన ఇతి భేదో జ్ఞేయః. నౌ ఈవెన్ వెన్ యు టాక్ అబౌట్ ద ఎంపవర్డ్ ఇన్కార్నేషన్స్ ఆర్ ఆవేషస్, దే ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఆఫ్ టూ టైప్స్. దోస్ హూ ఆర్ ఎంపవర్డ్ బై లాట్ ఆఫ్ పొటెన్సీ అండ్ దోస్ ఆర్ ఎంపవర్డ్ బై వెరీ లిటిల్ పొటెన్సీ. Those who are empowered by a lot of potency are called avatars, incarnations. For example, Narada, the four Kumaras, they are all considered to be incarnations. They are avesha avatars. They are avatara aveshas. Whereas, there are others who are empowered by very little of the Lord's potency, by his energy. They are called vibhuti, opulence. This we will study in Bhagavad Gita also. In Bhagavad Gita, there is one chapter, chapter 10, which is called the Vibhuti Adhyaya, where Krishna gives a whole list of his vibhutis. And these vibhutis are all slightly empowered by the Lord. Slightly empowered by the Lord. Because He is empowering them, He is identifying Himself with them. So the examples are Marichi, Manu, these are all vibhutis, opulences of the Lord. So here also, as the 20th incarnation, you have one Krishna who is listed there. Iha yaha vimshatitama avataratvena kathitaha saha krishnaha tu Sa Krishna tu Bhagavan natu amshaha na cha amshi purushaha kintu Bhagavan. That Krishna, he is directly Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan means the one who assumes these forms. As we understand from the very first chapter very first verse of this chapter. This is first canto, third chapter. So the very first verse of the third chapter says, in the first canto, that Bhagavan, he assumed this form, that form, and so on. So, in the shloka it says, Ete chamsha kalapumsa krishnas tu Bhagavan swayam. Krishna is directly that Bhagavan. He is not just the Purusha incarnation. He is not one of these empowered incarnations. He is that Bhagavan. Kintu Bhagavan. Jagrihe Purusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibhir. Iti Padyoktaha Yaha. Purushasya Avatari Bhagavan Sa Eveti Arthaha. He is the one who incarnates in all these forms, who becomes the Purusha Avatara, etc. So this is that Bhagavan. Then, to make it even more clear, he uses the word Swayam. He is Bhagavan himself. He is directly Bhagavan. Etadeva Spashti Kurvannayavaha. Spashti Kurvannaha Swayamiti. Tena Purushavatarino Bhagavataha Mahanarayanadapi Krishnasi Utkarsha Sadhitaha. With this it is made clear that Krishna is more exalted than even Mahanarayana. What to speak of the Purushavatars. And then he gives evidence from Chandogya Upanishad. And then he talks, gives evidence from Gopala Tapani Upanishad. And let me come to. Then he gives some technical explanation about the nature of this shloka, which requires some knowledge of Mimamsa. So I'm skipping that. But one point which is important is, here is an important point. Nanva ananda matrasya chidvastunaha vyapakasya parameshwarasya kim nama amshitvam amshatvam va parichinnasya eva vastunaha bhaga vibhaga ni sambhava. Okay, here is an important point. The point is, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is entirely composed of bliss. Okay, he's fully spiritual. He's a spiritual substance. And he is all pervasive. He is a Supreme Lord. Where is the question of part and parcel? The moment you say part, it means he is divisible. You can only talk about part of something which is divisible, which can be cut, which can be broken. How can you talk about the part of something which cannot be divided, which cannot be partitioned? So he brings up this point. Parichinnasyaiva vastunaha bhaga vibhagadi sambhavat. It is possible to divide something which is divisible. How can you divide the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is one all-pervading substance? How can you divide the Supreme Lord like that? So if you cannot divide him, then where is the question of amsha, part, amshi, the whole? What is this concept of part and whole? Yaduktam mahavarahe sarve nitya shashvatasya dehastasya paratmana hanopadana rahita naiva prakriti jah kvachit paramananda sandoha jnanamatrasya sarvata sarve sarva gunai purna sarvadosha vivarjita iti. Now this is the standpoint of the South Indian followers of Madhvacharya, the Tattvavadis. They say like this, where is the question of the Supreme Absolute Truth, indivisible Absolute Truth being broken into parts? So why do you say all this amsha? What is this? And how can you say he is full, Krishna is full and Narayana is only a part? And what is all this? And they give evidence from Varaha Purana, which Vishwanatha Chakravarti is quoting. The very same words that they are quoting, he is quoting. That all of these forms are eternal, everlasting. All these bodies of the Supreme Soul, they are eternal, everlasting. They have, there is nothing which breaks out of them. They are not born from matter. They are all supremely blissful. they are completely spiritual in every aspect. All of them are filled or perfect with all spiritual qualities, and none of them have any defect. So all of them are perfectly filled with all qualities. So that means what? That means all of them have all the opulences, all the qualities. You cannot say this one has this many qualities, this has this less number of qualities. Because there is evidence from Varaha Purana. So Vishnu Chakravarti says, Satyam, this is true. This is true. All the forms of the Supreme Lord are perfect and having unlimited qualities. None of them are lower in the possession of qualities. This is true. Tadapi tasya madhurya ishwarya karunyadi shakti prakatya taratamye naivamshatva purunatva vyavastha. However, even though all of them have sweetness, opulence, kindness, all of the forms, the Supreme Lord does not manifest all of His qualities in all of the forms. He manifests all of the qualities only in His original source form. In the other forms, He becomes a little bit reserved. He doesn't reveal Himself fully. He does not manifest Himself completely. So therefore, there is this statement that some of them are amshas and some of them, there is the original source form which is complete. Avirbhavita purna sarvashaktitvam purnatvam. Perfect or complete, whole. Like when we say Krishna is complete, Krishna is full. When we say Krishna is full, Krishna is not a part. Krishna is not full. Krishna is full. He is not a part. What does that mean? It means that in His form of Krishna, He manifests all of His qualities. He manifests all of His qualities. Avirbhavita yatha prayojanalpa shaktitvam amshatvam. Whereas, when you say such and such a form, like Matsyavatar, or you can say Narayana, Ram, in these forms, these are all parts and parcels of Krishna. What it means is, in those forms, He manifests very little qualities of Himself, very little potencies of Himself, as required for that purpose. For instance, as Ram, the Lord only accepted one wife. Prabhupada explains that it's not that Ram has to have only one wife. If He wants, He could have millions of Sitas. But, as required for His pastime, by His choice, He's only manifesting a portion of Himself. Like for instance, there was a time when Ramchandra, when he was in Dandakaranya forest, some sages, they were attracted to his beauty. And they wanted to become his wives. Now in his Ram form, he has chosen to have only one wife. So Ekapatni Vrata. Even though Kshatriyas normally have many wives. Chosen. That's his, so it is out of his prayojan, out of his necessity. So in that form, he did not accept any more wives. He can. It is not that he cannot. But he chooses not to. So when the Lord assumes such a form, then that form is known as Amsha. That is what is called Amsha. That is what is called part. And therefore we keep saying, Krishna is full. Narayana is a part. Ram is an expansion. Plenary portion. Prabhupada uses the expression, plenary portion. What a beautiful expression. Plenary means complete. Like we say, plenary meeting. The plenary meeting of the governing body. That means all the members of the governing body are sitting together. It is, a plenary meeting is different from a subcommittee meeting, sub-meeting, which means only a portion of those at the governing body are sitting together and discussing.
Yadiktam Bhagavatamrite Shaktir Vyaktis Tatha Vyaktis Taratam Yasya Karanam.
Because of the gradation in His manifestation of potencies, there is a gradation in the forms.
Shaktis Samapi Purya Didate Deepa Agni Punjayo Shita Dhyartik Shaye Cha Agni Punjadeva Sukham Bhavetiti. Evamcha purnotam shatva bhyam utkarsha pakarsho mahanuha muninam apyanubhava siddham geyam.
And this distinction between the complete form or the source and the plenary expansions,
that is recognized by great liberated souls in the Bhagavatam. Then he gives an evidence from the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And then it says that Ataha Chidvastunaha Parameshwarasya Amsham Shibhedaha Navirudha Yaduktam Varahe Swamshaschata Vipinamsha Iti Vedamsha Ishiyate Ityadi. So it is also recognized in the Varaha Purana. There are two types of parts and parcels, Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha. Swamsha refers to plenary portions and they refer to the Lord's own forms. Vibhinnamsha means separated parts and parcels, separated portions. The living entities, the jivas, they are separate. The rest of Chakravarti's commentary here is expressing which form of the Lord manifests which quality primarily and so on. And then he concludes, Krishna Purna Shad Aishwarya Madhuryanam Mahodadihi. But Krishna, he is a great ocean of in complete perfection of all the six opulences and sweetness. Antarbhuta Samastavataro Nikila Shaktimaniti. And inside him all the avatars are present. Inside him all of the avatars are present. That's what is meant by saying all the avatars. So, even though we say that Krishna possesses primarily 64 qualities and Vishnu possesses primarily, Narayana possesses primarily 60 qualities, it should be understood. Rupa Goswami states that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We should understand it from Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita that actually all the forms of the Lord, they possess all the qualities. But whenever we say that Krishna, that Narayana only has these many qualities, it should be understood that in that form, he has decided to manifest only this many qualities. Like Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushan gives a very fine example in his Govinda Bhashya. He says that, in the Vedic system, there are several subjects to be studied. So he says that sometimes you may have a person who has studied several different subjects. And he may be teaching all those subjects. So he may be considered a great teacher. He knows a lot. Great scholar. Then you may have another person who is equally learned. But he is teaching children. He is teaching neophytes. Beginners. And he only teaches a couple of subjects. Two or three subjects. And he is known as a person who teaches those two, three subjects. He's not known as a person who teaches many, many subjects. So he is considered to be just a lower teacher, lower level teacher. But actually he knows more, but he's only revealing less. He knows more, but he's only revealing less. Just like we also say that, for instance, we generally think that a university professor is greater than, like let us say someone teaches maths in a postgraduate school. Now we think that he's a university mathematics professor. And then we have a college math professor. And then we have a high school math professor, teacher. We have a lower school, primary school math teacher. Now you may have some PhD in mathematics who is actually fit to teach in a university. But due to some circumstance or desire, he may be teaching in a primary school math. Still, he will say he is just a primary school teacher. So even here we grade people corresponding to what they reveal rather than what they are. So similarly, so it is with the various forms of the Lord. Corresponding to how much the Lord reveals himself, that is that type of gradation accepted in the scriptures. But actually that doesn't mean that these forms are lower. It is an offense to say that these forms are lower and these forms are higher. And whenever we talk about this form as being higher, this form as being lower, like someone, if he says, oh, don't you're worshipping Vishnu? Come on,
Why do you need to worship Vishnu? You should worship Krishna, because Krishna is higher. Krishna and Vishnu are the same. When you say Krishna is higher, you should know what it means. It means in his Krishna form, he is manifesting himself fully. In his Vishnu form, he is not manifesting himself fully. He is reserved. He withholds his personality. He is not fully manifesting himself. So that point should be understood. It's a very, very important point. Generally, our devotees don't seem to grasp this point clearly. Therefore, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the source of both the Super Soul and the impersonal Brahman. So Prabhupada, in his Gita commentary here, he concludes this topic and makes us understand what is Krishna's position. This is Krishna's position. He is Swayam Bhagavan. He is Bhagavan. In the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsman is certainly unbecoming. And therefore, Krishna expressed his surprise with the word Kutaha. Where from? Krishna expressed his surprise. From where did this impurity come upon you? Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam. Where did this dirtiness come upon you? Where? From where has it come upon you? Such impurities were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of men known as Aryans. Arya means a civilized person. It's a civilized person. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization. Very important statement. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life. They know the value of human life. And they have a civilization based on spiritual realization. They understand that the actual goal of humankind is to become spiritually realized, is to realize spirituality, spiritual existence. So if we have a civilization like that, then that civilization is an Aryan civilization. Aryan is not some racist expression. That is a complete misunderstanding from the Indologists. Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the Absolute Truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan. And they are captivated by the external features of the material world, and therefore they do not know what liberation is. So those who are in the material conception of life, they don't know that the goal of life is to realize our position, to realize God and get out of this world, because they are captivated by Maya and they don't know what liberation is. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. That's the summary. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. That means these people have absolutely no idea that this world is a place of misery. You are capable of transcending this misery if you adopt the right process. They don't even know these things. Like I was talking to one relative of mine last year, one lady relative. She was telling me that, look, in actuality, we are born and we die. That's all. There's no real God. There's nothing called liberation. There's nothing called rebirth. These things don't exist. So that is a typical non-Aryan. That is a non-Aryan. Non-Aryan means doesn't understand anything about liberation. Doesn't understand why we should aim for liberation. They don't understand that there is the possibility of liberation. They don't even know that much. So these are non-Aryans. Although Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was deviating from his prescribed duties by declining to fight. This act of cowardice is described as befitting the non-Aryans. See, Krishna considers him to be a coward, a frightened person. Such deviation from duty does not help one in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it even give one the opportunity to become famous in this world. So this does not help one progress in spiritual life. Nor will you even become materially famous in this world. Useless it is. absolutely useless. Deviation from Vedic prescribed duty is materially bad, spiritually bad. To get out of duties prescribed in the Vedas, that such a tendency is materially disadvantageous, spiritually disadvantageous. Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsman. O son of... Okay. Klaibhyam asmagamah partha naitatvai upapadyate shudram pradaya daurbalyam chaktotishtha parantapa. O son of Pratha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Arjuna was addressed as the son of Pratha, who happened to be the sister of Krishna's father Vasudev. Therefore, Arjuna had a blood relationship with Krishna. If the son of a Kshatriya declines to fight, he is a Kshatriya in name only. And if the son of a Brahmana acts impiously, he is a Brahmana in name only. Such Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are unworthy sons of their fathers. Therefore, Krishna did not want Arjuna to become an unworthy son of a Kshatriya. So the idea is that a son of a Kshatriya should function like a real Kshatriya. He's a potential Kshatriya. The son of a Brahmana should function like a Brahmana because he's a potential Brahmana. Similarly, the son or a daughter of a Vaishnava should also function like a Vaishnava because he or she is a potential Vaishnava. Otherwise, it brings great discredit. Arjuna was the most intimate friend of Krishna and Krishna was directly guiding him on the chariot. But in spite of all these credits, if Arjuna abandoned the battle, he would be committing an infamous act. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude in Arjuna did not fit his personality. Therefore, he said, it does not become you. This doesn't suit you. Just like, you know, imagine there are, just like in Bombay there were these bombings and in Gujarat also at one time there were some bombings, and you found these people, some part of the police force, they went, they risked their lives and they did so much of hard work to detect bombs that had been kept, and they did all kinds of great sacrifices. And imagine if some of those people, you know, very valorous, last minute, you know, he goes and he's about to do something, and then suddenly last minute he sees his own friend as a terrorist, and he says, oh, sorry, it's okay, let all these people die, what can be done, he's my close friend, oh, how can I, you know, how can I sacrifice my life for this, and he becomes depressed. People will be very surprised. You know, this personality, the big person who has saved, you know, risked his life for the country in so many ways, in so many occasions. Finally, he sees some friend, and by seeing the friend, he just got copped out. So that is what Krishna is pointing out. That look, you know, you've done so many things, and on top of it, you're my friend. I have become your charioteer. And then last minute, you're just... this is like a very bad cinema. You're building up such a nice climax. So many things. And last minute the hero, instead of becoming the hero, becomes a loser. So Krishna is saying that no, don't do this. It does not become you. Arjuna might argue that he would give up the battle on the grounds of his magnanimous attitude for the most respectable Bhishma and his relatives. But Krishna considered that sort of magnanimity mere weakness of heart. See, now Arjuna might have thought, no, this is out of my magnanimous nature, my avatarvyata. You see how charitable I am, how kind I am. You know, this is my magnanimity for Bhishma, for Drona, for my relatives. But Krishna considered that sort of magnanimity mere weakness of heart. Now this weakness of heart is a very, very important very, very important consideration for practicing devotees also. This weakness of heart is a very big area of anartha. This is Bhaktivinoda's Amnaya Sutra. And Bhaktivinoda has summarized the teachings of the scriptures in this book, Amnaya Sutra. He wrote a commentary on it also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted a commentary to be written on that commentary. So this is in Sutra number 73, he says, he's talking about how do you make spiritual progress. How you make spiritual progress. Sadhana paripakve sarvanartha nivritti. When your sadhana becomes paripakva, when it becomes mature, then all the anarthas are removed. All the unwanted things in the heart, all the impurities of the heart are removed. So now what are these impurities? In Sutra 74 he says, Swarupa anavapti, asatrishna, aparadha, hridaya daurbalyani, iti, anarthascha chaturvidha. There are four types of anarthas. First is Swarupa Brahma. To be bewildered about one's own Swarup, one's own identity. What am I? I am an eternal servant of Krishna. I am supposed to serve Krishna. But instead of it, if I identify myself as a servant of Krishna plus this, plus that. Suppose I think that I am an American plus I am a servant of Prabhupada and the Acharyas. That is called Swarupa Brahma. Misidentification. If I think I am a young boy plus I am a servant of Krishna. Because what does a young boy want? A young boy wants sense enjoyment. What does a servant of Krishna want? Service to Krishna. So I want both youthful enjoyment and I want service to Krishna. Swarupa Brahma. The first anartha. Second anartha is asatrishna. To thirst after that which is temporary. Thirst for the temporary. The fourth anartha is aparadha. Aparadha refers to offenses, activities which are directly displeasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Aparadha. And the fourth is hridaya daurbalya, weakness of heart, weak determination. Swarupa Brahma, Swarupa Anavapti means Swarupa Brahma, Asatrishna, Aparadha, Hridaya Daurbalya. So these are four types of anarthas. These are impurities in the heart. How do we get rid of them? Bhaktivinoda explains. Sadhana yogena, acharya prasadena cha, turnam, tat apanayanam eva bhajananai punyam. He says that you need to do two things. You need to get two things. First is you need to apply yourself to sadhana. You need to apply yourself to the sadhana of devotional service, bhakti sadhana. That is one. The other thing is, you need to have the mercy of the spiritual master, the acharya. Acharya prasadena cha. Turnam tadapanayanam eva bhajana naipunyam. Then completely these four anarthas will disappear. This is the skill, the expertise of devotional service. So you need to be expert. We need to be expert. We need to be skillful. We need to be skillful in the process of devotional service. So if we apply our skills properly, then we need to, with intelligence, we need to ensure that we engage in sadhana bhakti and we attain the mercy of the acharya, the spiritual master. Without that, it's not possible. These two activities, if we engage in this, then these four anarthas, they disappear. So this weakness of heart is a very, very important point. It is a very, very important point. Weakness of heart refers to a weak determination. And Krishna is saying, give it up, give it up. Text 4. Arjuna Uvacha. Katham Bhishmam Ham Sankhye Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishu Bhi Pratiyotsyami Pujarha Varisudana. Arjuna said, O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? Respectable superiors like Bhishma, the grandfather, and Dronacharya, the teacher, are always worshipable. Even if they attack, they should not be counterattacked. It is general etiquette that superiors are not to be offered even a verbal fight. Even if they are sometimes harsh in behavior, they should not be harshly treated. So this is the general etiquette regarding superiors. There are various types of superiors. There are actually 7 different types of superiors. Bhaktivinoda lists them in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. I'm not going to discuss this here because that will actually appear later in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita under the heading of austerities. So at that time I will bring it up. And very important. These are all correct points. It's not that Arjuna's, but he's just misapplying it. But his points are correct by themselves. He's just misapplying them. He's invoking things which are not relevant at this moment. But what he's saying in general is correct. Even if they are sometimes harsh in behavior, they should not be harshly treated. Then how is it possible for Arjuna to counterattack them? Would Krishna ever attack his own grandfather Ugrasen? Arjuna's grandfather is Bhishma. That is why, actually Prabhupada is spelling out what's in Arjuna's mind. Would Krishna ever attack his own grandfather Ugrasen? Or his teacher Sandipani Muni? Because he has to fight Drona, his teacher. These were some of the arguments offered by Arjuna to Krishna. How can I fight with my grandfather, my teacher? Because of him I am alive. Because of him I know all these things. How can I fight with him? These are some of his points. There is some time. Let me read out some of the points made by Vishwanatha Chakravarti. Regarding text 2. First of all, he discusses, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupasthitam. How have these impurities come upon you? Impurity. Kashmalam means moha. Impurity means this delusion. So he translates this verse to mean, how has this delusion come upon you? Vishametra sangrama sankate. In this hour of crisis means, at this moment of war, how has this delusion come upon you? At this time of war, kuta heto, for what reason? Upasthitam tvam praptam abhut, for what reason has all this come? Anaryajishtam supratishthita lokair asevitam. Anaryajishtam, they are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. The original Sanskrit is Anaryajishtam. This is practiced by the Anaryas, the non-Aryans. And that means, supratishtita lokaihi asevitam. This is not practiced by people who are well-established. Aswargyam, akirtikaram, iti paratrika aihika sukha pratikulam, iti artaha. And he says, aswargyam, this does not lead to higher planets. Akirtikaram, rather they lead to infamy. So from this we understand that Krishna is pointing out that what you are doing now is unfavorable to immediate and subsequent material happiness. You see, in Vedic culture you always calculate in terms of how to be happy in this life and in your next life. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti is pointing out that Arjuna's activity is going to lead to material distress both in this life and in the next life. They don't lead you to heavenly planets. Heavenly planets is next life. You will become infamous in this life. Infamous means this life itself you will get into problem. They will all criticize you in this life. And on top of it, you're losing the chance to go to... You're losing your visa for the heavenly planets. You're losing your ability to go to the heavenly planets. Text 3. Klaibhyam, Klibadharma, Katharyam. Do not yield to this degrading importance. Klaibhyam means importance. Eunuch. But in this context it refers to don't become despondent. Don't become overwhelmed by depression. Katharyam. He Partheti. And he calls him, O son of Pritha. See? Klaibhyam Asma Gamah Partha, O son of Pritha. Why does he say, hey, O son of Pritha? Tvam Pritha Putra son Api Gachasi. You are the son of Pritha. How can you be like this? Anyasmin Kshatrabandho Varam Idam Upapadyatam Tvayi Mat Sakautu Na Upayujyate. Okay, in some son of a Kshatriya it can be like this. But you are my friend. How can it be like this? Then, now Arjuna might be thinking, Nanvidam, Shaurya Bhava Lakshanam Klaibhyam Mashankishta. Don't think that this is importance. Akintu Bhishma Dronadi Gurushu Dharma Drishtya Vivekoyam. Dhartarashtreshu tu Durvaleshu Madastraghatam Asadhya Martum Udyateshu Dayaiveyamiti. Arjuna might be thinking, no, I am seeing from the perspective of Dharma. From the perspective of Dharma, Bhishma, Dronas, they are my gurus, they are my superiors, they are my teachers. So I am using my intelligence, I am using my discrimination. And these weak sons of Dhritarashtra, they are getting ready to die from my weapons. So this is my compassion on them. Iti tatra hakshudram. Then Krishna speaks the second half of this verse. Kshudram hridaya dorbalyam tyaktvottishtha parantapa. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Naite tava vivekadaye. This is not a symptom, this is not a sign of your intelligence or your compassion. Kintu shoka moha vaiva. But this is simply your lamentation and delusion. Taucha manaso daurbalya vyanjako. And these reveal that your mind is very weak. Tasmat hrudaya daurbalyam idam tyaktva uttishtha he parantapa. And therefore you should get rid of this weakness of heart. Nanu pratibbadhnati hishreya pujya puja vyatikrama iti dharma shastram. Atoham yuddhan nivarte. I am getting out of this war because the Dharma Shastra says that anyone who transgresses the rules regarding a worshipable person will face obstacles in attaining his welfare. With this in mind, Arjuna speaks, text 4. Katham Bhishma Maham Sankhe Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishubih Pratiyotsyame Pujarha Varisudana. How am I supposed to fight with them? Nanveto yudhyete tarhi anayyo pratiyodha bhavittum tvam kim na shaknoshi. Oh, so if they fight with you, then you will not become a counter, you will not become their opponent. You are not capable of becoming their opponent. Satyam na shaknomi evetya. Yes, I cannot. Even if they fight, I cannot fight. Why? Pujarha. They are worshipable beings. They are worshipable souls. Anayos charaneshu bhaktiya kusumanyeva datum arhami. I am supposed to, with great devotion, throw flowers at their lotus feet. Natu krodhena tikshna sharan iti bhava. I am not supposed to take sharp arrows and with anger fight with them, throw arrows at them. भो वयस्य कृष्ण त्वमपि शत्रुनेव युद्धे हंसि न तु सान्दीपनिं स्वगुरुं नापि बन्धून् यदून् इत्याह हे मधुसूदने इति. माय डियर फ्रेंड कृष्ण, यू आल्सो इन अ वॉर यू ओनली किल योर एनिमीज, यू डोंट किल योर ओन गुरु सान्दीपनि, नॉट डू यू किल योर रिलेटिव्स द यदूस, बिकॉज यू आर मधुसूदन, यू आर द किलर ऑफ द डीमन मधु, you are the killer of your enemies, Arisudana. You see, see in this verse, yes, katham bhishma aham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyotsyami pujarah Arisudana. Oh, killer of enemies, oh killer of madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? Okay, I'll stop with this. We'll read the other commentaries tomorrow. And we'll proceed with the next section. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.